And so now I can only offer you the great teachings of Bruce.
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing?
Hi, Bruce.
My name is Bruce. I am a recovering alcoholic and addict, but really, that's not really my identity, addict and alcoholic. I'm a child of God. I'm reborn child of God. I'm a new creation. So I want to say that. Let me pray before I get started here. Lord, thank you so much for this place that I get to come every Friday night, the place that changed my life, that had a big part of changing my life. And Lord, I pray tonight as I speak that you would speak through me and I would be clear and that people would understand and that the things that I teach tonight would penetrate our hearts. And Lord, not just that I just teach them, but that I live them. So I pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things when I teach or when I talk, it always makes me check myself. Am I living these things that I'm talking about? And most of the time, there's part of it that I'm not, you know, because we're human beings and we're broken human beings and no one's perfect. So, and I know I'm not, but I'm much better than I was. Okay, so tonight's topic is we're in the heart of recovery. I think this is our fourth or fifth session in the heart of recovery. And this is our, seventh heart of recovery. We've been doing this for a couple years now. Today's topic is just for today, living one day at a time. This is one thing that I really struggled with when I first got into recovery, because at one point I had 7.5 years, but I didn't know the Lord, and I went back out again after 7.5 years, and I accumulated a lot of things. I had a business, a car, and I had a relationship that was a detriment to me. But anyway, I had all these things, but I didn't have the Lord. And ultimately, it was God that gave me the power to get clean the first time. But I didn't recognize that. People kept saying, "You're doing such a great job." And I'm like, "I am really." You know, I started to believe that I was doing such a great job, but it wasn't me, it was God. And it took me another 3.5 years to get back to the point to where I allowed Jesus into my heart. And he changed me, and now I have 13 years. But you know what? Just like I saw some people had 24 hours, people had 90 days, people that had whatever time it is, we only really have 24 hours, right? That's the principle of one day at a time. We only have 20. I could go drink. I'm not planning on it. I could go drink tomorrow or the next day. God forbid that I would, but I know for a fact that I'm not going to drink right now, right? And sometimes one day at a time is too much. Sometimes it has to be an hour at a time, right? It has to be, okay, it's too overwhelming for me to not drink for the rest of my life or to not use, okay? And it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be Facebook. It could be whatever you're obsessed with or whatever that is taking God, the place of God. We can't give it up all. It's too overwhelming to try to give it up for the rest of our lives. But it's possible to do for 24 hours. Okay, 24 hours, I am not going to drink. For 24 hours, and then, like I said, if that's too hard, then for an hour, I'm not going to drink. I remember sitting on my couch not wanting to call the crack guy and just I could not stop. The obsession was so, you know, I had no money, but I found ways to get some drugs anyway. But I sit there on my couch just going, "Oh, I don't want to drink. I don't want to use," but I couldn't stop myself. I could not use, you know? And I'm one of those people that couldn't go to AA and get clean. I had to go to programs and I got clean, went to like 5 programs. And, you know, I had 7 years at one time and then a couple years again. But the last time, I actually didn't go to a program because I can do programs with my eyes shut. I can be the model recovery guy in the program, right? Everyone thinking, you know, because I'm helping everyone else, which is a good thing, but I was helping everyone else so I didn't have to look at my own stuff, right? That's what I did. So this was a really hard principle. And so everybody, all of us in recovery have 24 hours, right? And you could even say not even just recovery, you could say sin, right? It's very hard to even go 24 hours without sinning in my mind or my attitudes or my actions, you know? It's impossible almost for me. But I can do it one little bit at a time. I'm going to knock this over. I can feel it right now. Hang on. Because I talk with my hands a lot. So just for today, living one day at a time. Wow, that's smaller than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to start with the Serenity Prayer because it talks about the Serenity Prayer in there. And this is the one, the Reinhold Niebuhr, or Niebuhr, however you say it, was the one that penned this first, the Serenity Prayer. And this is the full Serenity Prayer, not the one that we say at AA. This is the full Serenity Prayer that was first written. And it says, God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. And the reason I'm saying this prayer, I mean, and you know, it says Jesus in there, right? AA meetings, they don't say Jesus in there. But that's what this prayer, this prayer was involved Jesus. And so I like it because I don't want to take Jesus out of anything that was in Jesus, right? The Lord's Prayer that we say at the end of every AA meeting is the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. So to deny that Jesus has anything to do with AA is totally wrong in my opinion. I'm not bashing AA because if it wasn't for AA, I may not ever be where I am today. But I don't want to take Jesus out of anything because that's the power. That's the power that runs my life now. So I'm going to look at this a little closer here. So living one day at a time, accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Darn, I forgot my water. It's right back there by that chair. Somebody grab it for me, thanks. So accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. The things we cannot change are what's already happened, what we've already done in our lives, and what's going to happen tomorrow. We can't change any of those things. We can plan, and thank you, Kelly. We can plan for tomorrow, but we can't control it. We can't control what's going to happen tomorrow. It could snow, it could rain, we could have an earthquake, we could have a tornado. There could be anything could happen, and I have no control over that. So why, and I worry, I mean, I used to worry so much all the time over things I had no control over. I still do, it's like, and not to mention the things that I did in my past that I think, okay, something's going to come home to roost on something I did in my past. Someone's going to find out. Something's going to happen. And then tomorrow, I might not have enough money to pay the bills, or I might not have what I need for tomorrow. Constantly living in that place, in between the past and the future, and never in the present. I never lived in the present. I didn't know how to. I had to learn it, right? And it's very hard. I thought it was for me. Now, maybe for other people, it's real easy, but for me, it was very difficult. And I still haven't mastered it. I still do that. And my wife's sitting right here, so I can't lie. So that's unfortunate. And then it says here, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. You know, because like, especially in recovery, it's like, okay, I want to get to, when I had 7.5 years and then I relapsed, I wanted to get my 7.5 years back, right? And I wasn't going to be satisfied till I surpassed that, right? But but all the journey in the between, that's where the joy comes from, right? The day that, you know, the getting 30 days, getting a 90-day chip. I remember my first 90-day chip. I thought it was like the greatest thing in the world. I was so happy at that time in my life. And I remember when I finished this program, the first time I got clean, I got out of that program and I had one key, right? And man, it was the sweetest time in my life when I had one key, right? It just opened my door to the place that I live. That was it, right? And then about 3 years into my recovery, I had had 40 keys on it. We had a business and all this stuff, right? And life was complicated. I always think back to those times, that simple times. So if you're in that place, man, it's so awesome when you're first in early recovery. Everything's fresh and it's just like everything's new. Man, enjoy that part because it'll be over. And next thing you know, that pink cloud goes away and real life shows up. And you, at that point, you have to have your foundation good enough so that when the pink cloud stops, that you can still live in it, you know? Where do you put the water there? Thank you. So living one day at a time is a great concept. Now, there are some people that kind of don't like that idea. They say, well, I shouldn't think that. I am going to quit the rest of my life, drinking the rest of my life. It doesn't work for addicts. It never worked for me. And so, you know, once I had, and I'm one of those people that if I have a little success, then I want to do more and I want to do more. You know, I want to get 30 days, 90 days, 120 days. It's really awesome. And then when you start getting into the years, I'm not even sure if it's 13 or 14 years I have. It's not that important to me, the amount of time I have. What's important to me is that today I have a life And I don't have to worry about tomorrow, and I don't have to worry about my past anymore. And Jesus takes care of that part, the past, right? And I'll get to that in a little bit. As Bill sees it, his book that he has in there, he says, above all, take it one day at a time. So it's not just something I made up or someone else made up. This is Bill Wilson said it in his book, As Bill Sees It, right? Above all, take one day at a time. So he's not even saying that, you know, it's a good idea to take, he's saying above all, to live one day at a time. So that's important, right? If he's saying it's above all. Wow, 15 minutes is going by. Quick, man. All right, so I'm going to move on here. This is a daily reflection online that I found, and I really liked it because it made a lot of sense to me. Why do I kid myself that I must stay away from a drink for only one day when I know perfectly well I must never drink again as long as I live? I am not kidding myself because one day at a time is probably the only way I can reach the long-range objective of staying sober. If I determine that I shall never drink again as long as I live, I set myself up. How can I be sure I won't drink when I have no idea what the future may hold? On a one-day-at-a-time basis, I'm confident I can stay away from a drink for one day. So I set out with confidence. At the end of the day, I have the reward of achievement. Achievement feels good, and that makes me want more. And that describes me, you know, when I had 30 days and 90 days and, you know, and then in a year was still even really exciting, you know. But after a couple years, that excitement kind of wears off if you're not living one day at a time and if you're not doing what you did to get you to that point in the first place, right? And so it's real important to go, okay, what am I going to do today? It doesn't matter what happened before. And Jesus took care of that. And I'm going to get to that right now. In Matthew 6:25, it's a long passage, and I probably didn't have to read it all, but I wanted to because it really fit my life, how I used to live. Wow, this didn't show up real good. Matthew 6:25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Thank you. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to this life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. So he's talking about God takes care of us, right? I mean, if he takes care of the birds and the lilies of the field, what is he going to do to us, his creation, the people that he loves enough to give his son for? How much is he going to take care of us, right? So when we're in Christ, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Now, we will if we have our desires and go, I want things to go this way, and if they don't go that way, I'm going to be upset. And I never get upset like that, right? Oh, sorry. No, I still do that, but then I have to remind myself that, you know what? I was in a hotel ready trying to kill myself, to smoke too much crack to kill myself, and I never did it. I never did it. And he brought me through that. And that was the darkest time of my life. I couldn't kill myself. I wanted to so badly because I didn't want to live because I was afraid to live, but I was also afraid to die. So I couldn't do either. I failed at killing myself. I couldn't do that. And God's brought me from there to where I am now. And so if he's done that, there's nothing he can't bring me through. There's absolutely nothing that he can't bring me through. I still, though, go, it's not going the way I want, and start freaking out and running around with my hair on fire. Then my wife goes, you know, she kind of calms me down. Sometimes I won't let her calm me down. I want to be a baby, right, and complain. But I don't need to worry, you know. I just came into a new job to where it's only part-time, and I had to leave my other job and only go part-time there, and they don't want me to stay part-time. They want me to leave. But the job that I have now actually is here at this church, and it's like the biggest blessing I could ever ask for. And I'm not worried, man. I tell you, I'm not worried if that job runs out in a couple months. I'm not worried about it, and it's because I know God's going to take care of me. So I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I just know today I have a part-time job here. I have a part-time job at my other job. And when that job goes away, something else will come. I know God will supply what I need. I'm absolutely positive of that. And that is a new way of living for me, that I'm like, I'm right here in this moment. I'm okay right now. I have food, I have shelter, I have loved ones, I have everything I need right now. And if I lose everything tomorrow, I still have everything. I still have God that's going to take me through it. You know, it's awesome. And I'm going to go on with the, thank you. It's the only way to live. It's really the only way to live. My life wasn't like this. I wasn't living. I never lived until Jesus came into my heart. It looked like a life, but it really wasn't life. It really wasn't what life was supposed to be. And God's given me a life that it was supposed to be now, right? This is the way it was supposed to be. I'm going to go on with this same verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And before I go to this last part here, because of Jesus dying on the cross, he took care of the past. He took care of the past because he cleansed us. When you allow Christ into your life, he cleans you and makes you righteous in God's eyes. So when you allow Jesus into your life, you become clothed in Christ, which means when God looks down at you, he sees his perfect son, Jesus. And that's the part that we have to get from here to here, to believe that our identity is the perfect son of Christ. When God looks at us, he sees his perfect son. That's what he sees. He sees the finished product. He doesn't see the brokenness in front of us. And that allows us to get that crap off that we've been carrying around all our lives, that backpack of crap, right? That Jesus takes away, but you have to give it to him. He won't take it away unless you give it to him. You have to give him that crap. So you don't have to use the crap. that's swearing for me. Right? Anyway, it's like a weight. I know when I did my fourth and fifth step, when I gave my fifth step to my sponsor, I was like, I was floating afterwards. It was so amazing. And it's not that I just got it out, but I knew I was forgiven. God forgave me. So I don't have to live in yesterday anymore, because it doesn't mean I don't look at the past, because I can look at the past and go, hey, the last time I ran my life like that, it turned bad, right? Or the last time I made that decision, it was bad. So I don't mean that we have to just not look at it anymore, but I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to feel condemned anymore because I've been forgiven. Okay, that helps a lot when you know that you're forgiven to live in the present. Okay, but we still got to deal with tomorrow, right? So it says here, this is my, I think I always say this all the time, my favorite part of scripture is like 7,000 favorite scriptures. But it says here, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of for itself. Each day has enough of its own trouble. So what you can do for sure one day at a time is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That's really the key here, is that, because I know I want to get my car, I want to get my job, I want to get my girlfriend. Usually it's the girlfriend first, because I've been around recovery programs for a long time, and I know VA guys have been coming here for a long time. We had our brothers home, and every one of them, I need a girlfriend. That's going to fix everything, right? That's going to fix everything. And believe me, it does not fix everything, because you're still you. And God still has some work to do on you, right? It's a girlfriend, a car, and a job, right? But God says that he's going to take care of all that. He takes care of the lilies of the field, right? So if you seek him first and his righteousness first, you can stay in the present. You can stay in the present because we can do that. And that's very simple to do. Wake up in the morning, pray. God, show me how to live. Get up and read the word. You know, part of what I really like about teaching is that I get to stay in the Word. And I'm not a very disciplined person. So if I commit to teaching, then I have to be in the Word, right? And it helps me a lot. So to stay out of yesterday and stay in tomorrow, out of tomorrow, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And everything, and that's the, you know, it's just like your recovery, right? People say, oh, I need to get my apartment, I need to get my job. And you say, well, you know what? You're going to lose all those things if you don't stay sober. So what's the most important thing is to stay sober, right? And that's just in recovery. Now, I'm talking about life, that what it talks about in the Bible. He's saying, seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about nothing. I will take care of it. And the only time we worry about it is because it's not going the way we think it should go or the way I think it should go, right? So that's it's not like, okay, I'm going to get my car, my job, and all this, and then I'll start worshiping God. No, it's the opposite of that. It's, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek God's face. And all these other things I don't have to worry about no more because He's going to take care of me, right? He's going to take care of me because He does the lilies of the field and the birds and everything else that He feeds them, and I don't have to worry about that. So it makes it much easier to live in the present. Easier, not easy, but easier than if you did. Because it is hard for me to stay in the present. And if it wasn't, they wouldn't teach this stuff if it wasn't hard to do. So, you know, we have to live that. And page 85 in the AA Big Book says, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on your laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. You can take alcohol and take anything else out. You put anything else in there that you're obsessed with or you can't stop doing. We are not cured of alcoholism or sin. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. That's the part of seek first His kingdom and His righteousness right there. Every day is a day when you can carry on that thing, right? It's not, oh, what am I going to do 3 years from now? How am I going to carry God's will? You don't have to. You have to do it right now. Because you can't do anything about tomorrow. You know, like doing like Danger, remember Lost in Space? I'm aging myself. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. That's how I used to live my life. Man. And I still do. I still sometimes do. And then later I'm like, why am I worried about something that I know God's going to take care of and has always taken care of? And there's nothing I've faced in the last 5 years that compares to some of the stuff I lived through as a kid and everything else, right? And God brought me through that, and He put me here in a room full of loving people that I get to love and love me, and it's awesome. Now, I'm sure not everyone does, but that's okay. I used to want everybody to love and like me and all that, but I don't care if they don't now. I want them to, but if they don't, I'm not going to, God's got my back. He's going to take care of me. People aren't going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. I hope my wife takes care of me, though. That's as I take care of her. So that's in page 85 of the AA Big Book. In Narcotics Anonymous, they always read this. I had a hard time finding this, but I finally did. And this is what they say when you go to an NA meeting. I think they read like four or five different things, you know, like in AA, they read the promises and how it works and all that. But NA reads this every time at every meeting. At least the ones I went to. It says, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Hopefully that faith is God. That's where the ultimate faith needs to be in. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will get a better perspective on my life. You put AA, R&R, wherever you get spiritually fed or wherever you have fellowship, that's where you try to get connected. Because you can't, I know every time I tried to get clean on my own all by myself, I can never do it. But with people, I could, man. And I thrive in groups of people. And I know that I'm a kind of a people person, but I know a lot aren't. So it's one of those things that you have to get into relationships with people so they can help, so you can help each other. You can't do it any other way. And then just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. They read that every time. At least they did back when I used to go. I haven't been to NA meeting in a long time. But so it's not just something that you say flippantly. It's, this is how we have to live. This is the only way to live, really. And I don't think it's just AA that says it. God tells us that, right? He's got everything. He's taken care of the past. He's taken care of tomorrow. I don't have anything to fear, right? A lot of reading today. Here's a poem that I really, really liked. It goes like this. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry. 2 days which should be kept free of fear and apprehension. One of these days is yesterday, with its mistakes and cares, its faults and blunders, its aches and pains. Yesterday has passed forever beyond our control. All the money in the world cannot bring back yesterday. We cannot undo a single act we performed. We cannot erase a single word we said. Yesterday is gone. The other day we should not worry about is tomorrow, with its possible adversities, its burdens, its larger promise. Tomorrow is also beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow the sun will rise, either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it will rise. Until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for it is as yet unborn. This leaves only one day, today. Any man can fight the battles of just one day. It is only when you and I add the burdens of those two awful eternities, yesterday and tomorrow, that we break down. Yes? That's right. Yeah, Rick.
I was going to say the same thing. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today, what we have is today. That's why it's called the present.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's really the only way to do recovery well, I believe. Okay? Like I said, I have like 13 and something years, and really that doesn't matter because tomorrow I could yell at my wife or something and, you know, and, or whatever it is. I don't usually yell though, do I? No, I don't much, but I act out in other ways. So it's not just about drugs and alcohol. It's all our behaviors, right? I can not be angry. I can not yell at the guy that cut me off today. I cannot, you know, chase the guy down to whatever it is. We can take that principle into everything and all parts of our lives. Cause it says in step 12, having had a spiritual awakening of the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to all alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. So AA is really not just about not drinking. AA is about a whole change of life. That's what God does. That's what Jesus does. God doesn't do anything halfway, right? He either wants all, you got to give all of him or he can't work with you. You have to give him everything. And that means yesterday and tomorrow we have to give to him. And we got to let go of that control. It's easier said than done, but that's what we have to do. Just for today, living one day at a time, let me pray. Lord, thank you for the principles of AA that taught me how to live. Thank you for your words in the Bible, the words that cut like a two-edged sword. And it shows us reality and shows us where we fall short and the places that we need to turn over to you. So, Lord, as we go out of here tonight, I pray that we can all live in the moment, trust you for tomorrow, remember that you've forgiven us for our past and that there's no condemnation. And, Lord, we love you and help us to seek your kingdom and your righteousness because that's the main thing that matters. Nothing else matters without that, Lord. Everything else we could do those things, but without your kingdom and your righteousness, we're nowhere. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.